Good evening. Glenn has asked us to read from Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Titus chapter 3, 1 through 11. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness of and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So as we look forward to what Brother Glenn has here this evening, I think we need a good reminder that we are where we are, not by what we have done, but by what Jesus Christ has done for each one of us on the cross. And let us keep that in the forefront of our minds as we go about each day and as Glenn preaches to us this evening. So let's bow before the word of the Lord in prayer.
Brother Donald, you made me homesick for heaven. I would entitle the sermon tonight, New Life in Christ, taken from Titus chapter 3. Thank you, Brother Matt, for helping us tonight and for your prayer. Paul had many traveling companions. He had young traveling companions in his ministry as he went on different missionary journeys. These young men assisted him in spreading the gospel. Two of the chief young ones were Timothy and Titus. And tonight we're looking at Titus here in chapter 3. Paul's focus was to pass to others what was committed to him so that they in turn could pass it to others who would in turn teach others also. And you read that in 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Paul left Titus in the island of Crete so that Titus could provide leadership there for the church that was there at that place. And Paul writes this epistle of Titus to instruct Titus in his work. As Titus would be a leader there for that church, Paul gives instruction. And here in chapter 3, he starts out by saying, put them in mind. In other words, those that Titus would instruct, those that would be under Titus' care, put them in mind to be subject, to submit themselves to those that are the principalities and powers of their lives, there where they live, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So put them in mind. Remind your people of how Christians should live and relate to the world around them. The importance of respecting and submitting to God, ordained authority, as long as God's word is not violated. As long as God's word is not violated, we have no excuse for rebelling against God-given authority here in this world. Whether it be local government or the state police or whoever it would be, or Washington, D.C., whether we think they're horrible or not. Christians in the first century church had Nero, and they had things far worse than we do. And we need to be willing to submit. And yes, that attacks our pride. And many of us, if we would ever admit it, would have to admit that there's pride in us that God does not care for and God hates, and we should be getting rid of it. Rulers and authorities are being referred to here in verse 1, principalities and powers, referring to rulers and authorities. And believers in Christ, we're talking about new life in Christ tonight. It's very discouraging and frustrating when so many people who believe in Christ, or at least profess Christ, don't live a even a little bit different than what they did before they had that profession. Dabble in the same sins. Struggle with the same besetting sins. As if there's no power in Christ at all. Working in and through the new believer. To have a change in life. And to live a new life. But believers in Christ, this new life in Christ, believers in Christ should be good. And they should be respectful citizens of the land they live in. As the Bible says here, ready to do every good work. Ready to every good work. The worldlings around us who do not believe in Christ, who have no eternal hope, they should see you and I doing things that they would think are a waste and that they would think are ridiculous. But they should see us doing things that or for the betterment of our fellow man and things of acts of kindness, acts of generosity. And we should really be making people around us wonder if we're okay in the head. Verse 2 of our text, to speak evil of no man. Brothers and sisters, that includes the president. Whether it's Trump or whether it had been Obama. We might have greatly differing opinions of the two men, but the Bible says regarding both of them to speak no evil. I've disobeyed scripture there in the past. I guess you haven't, but I have. I don't have a clear memory of the exact instances, but I have no doubt spoken evil of Obama. And God have mercy. And it's to my shame to speak evil of no man. God allows evil men. And I happen to believe Obama was evil and is evil. I believe there are many in Washington, D.C. who are evil. Evil through and through. But God allows them for a reason. And he puts them where they're at. And he can just as easily remove them. Our citizenship is really in heaven. And we need to remember that and speak evil of no man. No brawlers, that is, Christians who are living a new life in Christ, might have been contentious. Brawlers, that means contentious. They may have been that way before conversion. But the Bible says old things are passed away. And so that contentious spirit has passed away for the person who now claims they are in Christ. No brawlers, no contentious people should be declaring the name of Christ and declaring to be his follower. But rather, and that word but, we find it four times in this chapter, and that word is very important. You know, when you see that word but in Scripture, there's going to be a shift of thought. And really what it bears out here is, on one hand, you're talking about the old, and you're talking about the old man, you're talking about the old nature, you're talking about the carnal, you're talking about the old man of the flesh. But on the other hand, now we're going to talk about who we ought to be in Christ. Totally different person. And so we come to this word but in verse 2 of our text. You know, in contrast to speaking evil of people, in contrast to being brawlers, contentious, you know, finding fault with others and picking fights, on the other hand, we are actually to be gentle, because now we're new creatures in Christ. Those things that were in us before, brawlers, contentious, speaking evil of people and being proud, those things are passed away. Behold, all things are now new, things like being gentle and showing meekness unto all men. Unto all men. Some of us are good at showing meekness to certain people, and yet hardly ever show it to other people. But the Bible says, showing meekness unto all men. That includes the one that rubs you the wrong way worse than anybody else in the world. That includes the person that you really don't want to see. That includes anybody that has caused you a lot of pain or frustration or disappointment. And so let's remember that word but there in verse 2. We're going to see it again. You know, the one thought, speaking evil and being brawlers, contentious, and then but. Four times in this chapter. In other words, here's how you lived as an unbeliever. But now, with new life in Christ, you must live this way. The old was over here, now you're over here. And you're letting that behind. Now you're gentle. Now you're meek. Are we known as gentle? Are we known as meek by the world around us, or even by fellow Christians? Verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. That was in the past. That was the old way of life. The old way of life, we were disobedient. In the old way of life, we were deceived, and we were serving divers lust and pleasures. And in that old way of life, before we knew Christ, we were living in malice and envy, and we were hateful, and we were hating one another. In the past, outside of Christ, we walked according to the flesh. Self was number one. And when somebody stepped on our toes, we bristled. And we got contentious immediately. But now we don't do that, because now we're in Christ. We all at one time walked according to the flesh rather than according to the Spirit. But probably everybody in this place tonight, we, except maybe little children, we declare now that we are disciples of Christ. And so now we are saying no to the flesh and we're saying yes to the Spirit. And that means our lives will match up with Scripture. And in Galatians chapter 5, we have a list. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, There's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And without Christ, we were no match for the flesh. We simply did what the flesh dictated because we had no power over the flesh, because we didn't have the power of Christ dwelling in us. But now that we have the power of Christ in us, that should all be different. And so we're told, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when Christians walk in the, when Christians end up fulfilling the lust of the flesh, apparently they're out of tune with the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And that's right where we find ourselves when we are not under the submission and the authority of Christ, allowing Him to live in us and allowing His power to permeate our lives and come out in our actions. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They are made known. They are revealed. And this is what the life was before Christ. And if it is now, after you've professed Christ, then today is a day to repent. And because of God's mercy, there are some second and third opportunities. But we do despite to the Spirit of grace, and we quench the Spirit, we're living very dangerously. The works of the flesh are manifest, are made known, and they are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, and we have four of them in Titus 3 tonight, but, on the other hand, the fruit of the Spirit, and Christians are supposed to be answering to the Spirit and saying no to the flesh, those who are in the Spirit, they're going to have the fruit of the Spirit, and that Spirit, that fruit of the Spirit is going to be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And verse 24 reminds us again that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts that live in the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 3 of our text, Titus 3, verse 3, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. This is a description of the old nature. It's a description of the old man, the old carnal, fleshly person. And then in verse 4, we have that three-letter word again, but. We have these things in verse 3, but in verse 4. After the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. But the behavior described in verse 3 is simply unacceptable. Once a person experiences the kindness and love of God, our Savior, verse 5, not by works of righteousness. And Brother Matt alluded to that. He shared a good comment on that. It's nothing we have done. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You and I, everybody that's here tonight, you and I are wretched, or at least we were wretched in our old nature. with no chance of saving ourselves. No chance of changing our decrepit, wretched lives. Saved by grace tonight. The mercy and the love of God. Verses 4 through 7 here in our text explain how wretched sinners can be saved. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Such truth should ever keep us humble. And keep us from thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We see the word regeneration in verse 5. We see the word washing. He saved us by the washing of regeneration. Not by works, but not by works. Notice that word but was again in verse 5. But according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. God's love shines upon us. Jesus Christ dies in our place. There in verse 6. And we are renewed by the Holy Ghost. Verse 6 says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Regeneration refers to the work of the Holy Ghost in the salvation experience and process that produces new life in Christ so that the old can pass away and so that the new can take over in our lives. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." Same as regeneration here in our scripture tonight. According to verse 6, you know, it says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. I believe the moment a person trusts in Christ as Savior, they are regenerated, they are born again. And they continue in obedience and are taken into the baptismal waters. But I believe they become born again. I believe they are regenerated the moment they accept Jesus Christ and trust him as Savior and Lord. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justification. And from that time of being born again, that time of regeneration, that time of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, from that time until death or the rapture is a time of sanctification, growing in Christ, saying no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. Shame on us when we don't say no to the flesh that Christ died for and that we were buried with him in baptism, that we would rise again in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. Shame on us for the times we say yes to the flesh. With new life in Christ, we must steer clear of the attitudes and behaviors of verse 3. The old life, the old man, the old nature. But rather we must purpose to be gentle, showing all meekness, and careful to maintain good works. Verse 8, it's all part of cooperating with the sanctification process. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So much of Christianity likes to quote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They forget all about verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Verse 8 reminds us, they which have believed in God might be careful, might purpose might not be casual about it, but might be careful that they maintain good works, because these things are good and profitable unto men. Unto men. Unto the world around us, and unto our fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in the local fellowship. Maintain good works. First of all, I believe among the community of believers. And anybody that has been at the receiving end of that knows how valuable that is, and I do. Also to the world, that we might be that light and that salt to a world that's lost and needs salvation. So according to verse 8, we are to practice doing things that are profitable unto men. Too many times we think of what is profitable unto ourselves, and we live a selfish life. But we are reminded in Scripture, and we are commanded in Scripture, to do those things that are profitable unto others, unto men, unto those people that are around us in church and in the world. And that's what we will do if we are indeed new creatures in Christ. And as we do those things, it will constantly remind us of who we belong to. When we carry out God's word, we'll constantly be reminding ourselves and strengthening ourselves in the faith that we belong to Christ. That's why I'm not living for self. That's why I'm sacrificing. That's why my time is given to a brother. That's why my time is given to a worldling and to someone that has never treated me kindly. Like Brother Donald Clapper shared such a powerful, powerful testimony of a fellow worker eventually becoming saved because of Brother Clapper's patience and long-suffering and godly example. Titus is being instructed by Paul to avoid certain things as he guides the church on the island of Crete. He knows certain things will sidetrack this leader of the church from what is important. And he knows if that happens, he knows the whole church will suffer. And likewise, we need to avoid the same things, whether we're in leadership or not. Verse 9 talks about avoiding foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And that's another but in our chapter tonight. Now you have verse 8, maintain good works. Do those things that are good and profitable unto men. But in verse 9, avoid all these other things that are harmful. These other things that tear even brothers and sisters down and weaken them in the faith, and some are derailed, and some lose faith, because you're more interested in talking about those things that can show your intellect. You're more interested in talking about those things that show how smart you are. And so you talk about genealogies, and you talk about contentious things, and you strive about the law because you feel you're a master at it. And in lifting yourself up in pride, you derail fellow Christians. That's the warning Paul is giving Titus. Don't do it. Don't go into those things. Avoid those things. And instruct your fellowship to avoid those things. Those things that are useless. Those things that aren't building brothers and sisters up in the faith, but rather are tearing them down. Foolish questions. You know, just to prove that you're some smart guy. Contentions, strivings about the law. The bottom line is these things are unprofitable and they're vain. That means they're useless. They're empty. It can actually get to that point concerning end times and your thoughts on eschatology. It can be a matter of pride, and it can be a matter of contention. And if we're wise, we'll follow the example, we'll follow the advice here that Paul gives Titus, and at the same time is giving all Christians of all ages, as we have the New Testament. Fill your life with the good things of verse 8. And you will have no time for the pathetic, unprofitable, useless, empty things in verse 9. Titus needed to avoid these things in order to do a proper job of leading that church on the island of Crete. And so we need to avoid these kinds of things as well. Idle and useless dialogue, which can easily become disputes, are to be avoided. If it doesn't edify, if it doesn't build up, and if it doesn't strengthen, then avoid it. It isn't all that hard to figure out what's worth talking about and what's not. The other test is whether it is God-honoring. Whether it is God-honoring. Proud men will indeed flaunt their knowledge and simply stir up contentions. They probably had Judaizers arguing for keeping the law. And Paul didn't want that to get carried away there on the island of Crete under Titus. None of it glorifying God, none of it edifying the people, none of it making them stronger Christians. Avoid this. Don't allow it. What about genealogies? Well, now Christ's genealogies are important and they're valuable. But I suspect some here that Paul was instructing Titus to watch over. I suspect some of them were bragging about their own long and, quote, important lineages that they were proud about, because they had so-and-so for grandpa and so-and-so for great-grandpa. Contentions and strivings about the law. This type of thing is popping up in our day, and it is derailing some, as it was a problem there in Titus' day. Mosaic rites and ceremonies were superseded by Christ and were done away. And when this kind of a thing is pushed, it needs to be dealt with. Focus needs to be kept on instruction for living the new life in Christ, that which edifies and brings growth in the Christian's life and in your fellow Christians' lives. Verses 10 and 11. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted. That word means that person is warped. Their thinking is warped. He is warped and sinneth, being condemned of himself. A person who persists in these dangerous practices that were warned about in verse 9, anything heretical, verse 10, the man that is an heretic, person who persists in these dangerous practices may progress to the point of holding to false teachings and teaching others also. Teaching and pushing on others their erroneous thoughts about Scripture that will derail them from faith in Christ alone and in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ being sufficient for our salvation. All that will be challenged, and the temptation will be to add to that. And so, a strong hand must be put down here. And that man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition must be rejected, must be dealt with. This person who would divide and tear down with erroneous teachings, and it might all start with foolish questions, it might all start with genealogies, it might all start with just being contentious and striving about the old law, this person not only divides but also derails Christians. And some possibly won't make it to heaven because of it. Obviously, this type of problem in the church needs to be dealt with. Very timely. not after it has already caused others to be weakened. In conclusion, concerning this third chapter of Titus, those who receive new life in Christ, I suppose that's about everybody that's here tonight, we must purpose to live new lives, allowing the old nature to be crucified with Christ. Romans 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we really should walk in newness of life.
As Brother Glenn has given us a message, a few things I jotted down here kind of stuck out. Maybe there are things that hit me more than anything. He talked about Obama and maybe his reaction towards him. And I wrote down here as I was thinking about that, is our hatred for people's sin stronger than the compassion for their souls? You know, so many times we see somebody that's arrogant and I can kind of get an attitude towards them and I forget the fact that they got souls that need to be saved. And then he also, one of the things he mentioned about our citizens is in heaven. And then I had to ask myself the question, and you can ask yourself the question too, do I live like my citizenship's in heaven? Or do I live a lot of my life like, you know, it's here? I'm more worried about the things that are around me every day. And one of the last things he talked about there in verse 9, I wrote down a person that's kind of a debater, and I had the opposite of that as an encourager. We need to encourage each other and lift each other up as we go about each day. Let's all stand at this time for closing prayer.